This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And my brothers in Islam, I encourage you what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded in the Holy Quran, all those who believe, fear Allah the way he should be feared, and do not die unless you're in a state of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of fearing him in the Quran Kareem in many, many verses. So many verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands, even though that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't even have to mention it. Many times in the Quran Kareem, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's right upon us that we fear him. We fear him during the easy days and the tough days, during the happy days and the sad days. We fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during every single moment. And part of the fear of Allah azza wa jal is that you obey Allah in all his commandments. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Islam is founded and established on five pillars, five foundations. And we all know the pillars of Islam, which are to testify that there is no God except Allah and Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah, to establish the prayers to perform and fast the month of Ramadan, to pay your zakat, wa hajjul bayt, and to perform hajj. Whilst we are talking in a time and a moment where many people start flocking and traveling to hajj, travel to Medina and Mecca, in particular Mecca, where hajj is being performed, these are the days of hajj, and these are the days where people start preparing themselves to go to hajj, even though the actual rituals and the actual days of hajj don't start until 2 or 3 weeks from now. But these are the times that you start finding, in particular here from Australia, many people start preparing themselves to travel if they haven't already traveled. And one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be connected to, Allah wants us to be connected to the center point of Islam. And the center point of Islam is Mecca, in which Allah azza wa jalla commands all our prayers to be prayed towards Mecca. What's the purpose of you facing Mecca? Right now you are facing the Qibla. When you pray 5 daily prayers, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and every other prayer, you must face Mecca. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be connected to that sacred place, that holy place, that Allah had commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to build the Kaaba in the middle of nowhere. It started with a huge sacrifice where Allah commands Ibrahim alayhi salam to take his wife Hajar, a newly born son Ismail, which has been waiting for many years. Some narrations say he waited about 60 to 70, even 100 years before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with his firstborn, Ismail alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Ibrahim alayhi salam to travel and take his wife and newly born son, Ismail alayhi salam, to go from Palestine all the way to what we know these days as Saudi Arabia, but to go all the way to the valley of Bakka. And you know what? That place that Ibrahim alayhi salam took his wife and his son Ismail to, that valley which is known as the valley of Bakka, no one probably knew anything of that place. What's that place? A place that no inhabitants, a place that no one lives in, and it's not an easy place for someone to live in. Allah commands Ibrahim alayhi salam to take his wife Hazan and his son Ismail to that valley, and to leave him there. And leave him where? In a hotel, a nice accommodation with family, with friends, and a tribe, in the middle of nowhere. رَبَّنَا إِنَّ أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرَعٍ. Oh Allah, I had founded, or I had made my family live in a valley that does not even have a crop, does not even have a plant. That valley of Mecca that Ibrahim alayhi salam settled his wife and his son Ismail, animals struggled to live there, let alone human beings and mankind. But it was that test. That test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test Ibrahim alayhi salam, for Ibrahim to show his true loyalty and sacrifice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah commands him to take his son and commands him to take his wife and leave them in the middle of that valley without anything, only a bit of water and a bit of dates. And yes, Ibrahim alayhi salam travels all the way from Palestine to Mecca, leaving behind his wife Hajar and his newly born son Ismail, and he leaves him in the middle of that valley with a bit of dates and a bit of water, and he walks away to where? Going back to Palestine. Not walking away, Allah, he's going to look for something. He leaves this vulnerable woman in the middle of that desert with his newly born son Ismail, and he turns his back and walks away. Hajar was shocked. Like, why would Ibrahim alayhi salam do something like this, leave us in the middle of nowhere without the security and protection of anyone or the care of anyone? So he continues with his journey. She calls upon him and she says to him, "Oh Ibrahim, you're leaving us here. You're leaving me, your wife, a woman, a newly born son in the middle of this valley without anything, with a bit of water and dates." So Ibrahim alayhi salam continues with his journey. She calls upon him again, "Oh Ibrahim, you leave us here on our own." So he continues with his journey. The third time she says, "Oh Ibrahim, did Allah command you to do so?" She knows he's a prophet and a messenger of Allah. She knows that he's answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "Oh Ibrahim, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command you to do this to us?" That's when Ibrahim alayhi salam turns his back and he says, "Yes. Yes. It is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So Hajar alayhi salam responds back to Ibrahim and she says, "If that's the case, Allah will never forsake us. Allah will never neglect us. Allah will never forget us." You continue. We don't have to depend on you. "Yes, you are my husband. You are the father of this son. You are the father of this baby. You are a man. You are this, you are that." Whatever it is, at the end of the day, our dependence and reliance is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that commands you to do this to us, then we'll be in the care of Allah. And the care of Allah comes before any other care. Look at the power of Iman. The strength of yaqeen and conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibrahim alayhi salam returns back home, thousands of kilometers away from his son and his wife. Many years go past, and over the course of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Ibrahim to go back to that valley, where Allah commands Ibrahim to build a house. What's this house? This house is known as the Kaaba. What's the purpose of this house? The purpose of this house, this is a symbolic house that resembles the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believe in Allah azza wa jal as the only Lord, as the only provider, as the only creator, as the only master. Build it in the middle of that valley with the assistance of your son. Now Ismail alayhi salam became a young man after he was left behind by his own dad and left with his mother Hajar alayhi salam in the middle of that valley. I don't want to go through the story, what happened along the course of that time. Ismail alayhi salam grew up and now he's a fit young man, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing Ismail alayhi salam for a big mission to be a successor after his father and to become a prophet and messenger after his father. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Ibrahim alayhi salam, with the assistance and the help of his son Ismail, to build a house known as the Kaaba. So now Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam are building the Kaaba. Ismail carries the bricks and Ibrahim alayhi salam lays the brick. Ismail carries the bricks and Ibrahim lays them. As Ibrahim alayhi salam continues to build the walls of the Kaaba, and the walls of the Kaaba had reached higher than Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ibrahim needed something for him to stand on, to erect himself, to stand on and reach to something higher. So he went and saw Or he went and picked up a big rock, he stood on it. And out of the commitment of Ibrahim alayhi salam, wanting to finish off this building that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded him to build, Ibrahim alayhi salam was so dedicated, he was so committed in building that building, his feet sunk inside the rock, which is known later on as Maqam Ibrahim. Maqam Ibrahim, which is few meters away from the Kaaba, during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, up until the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was attached to the Kaaba, where people start to stumble over each other, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved away from the Kaaba. Some narrations even say Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an moved away from the Kaaba. But what does the Maqam Ibrahim resemble? It resembles and signifies the commitment and the dedication of Ibrahim alayhi salam in building this house that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded him to build. He stood so long on the rock until his feet sunk inside that rock. What does that tell you? The time and the duration that Ibrahim alayhi salam stood on that rock in finishing off the mission that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded, which is to finish off the building of that house. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Ibrahim alayhi salam, after Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam finished from building that building that house, which is known as the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Ibrahim alayhi salam to start calling people to come and visit this Kaaba. He built it. Now we want people to come and visit it. We want people to come and perform a ritual travel in visiting this place for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, known as the Hajj, known as pilgrimage. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to call upon people and come and visit this place. وَأَذِّن بِالنَّاسِ فِي الْحَجِّ وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. Call upon people and let them come and visit this place. يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ. So you've built this house right now, we want you to call people and come and visit this place. So Ibrahim alayhi salam says, oh Allah, to whom is my voice going to reach? There's no one is around. I'm going to call and call and call. Who's going to hear me? No one can hear me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Ibrahim, it is your responsibility for you to do the job, and the results are on us. You make the call, and we'll make other people hear that call. So Ibrahim alayhi salam climbs the highest peak, the highest mountain near the Kaaba. And he goes on the peak of that mountain and he looks around. No human being is around. But he makes that call and he says, all people around the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had established this house. And Allah commands you that you come and visit this house for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for his sake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam reach everyone till the day of judgment, not only people during his time. Where you find every single day, people are flocking to the Kaaba. People are going to Mecca and going to the Kaaba to visit that sacred place for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perform Hajj Umrah. And right now these days, millions of people from all around the world, from all walks of life, from every corner of this world, will flock to Mecca, go to the Kaaba, to visit the Kaaba, to visit Mecca, to perform the rituals of Hajj, to revive the days and to revive the rituals that Ibrahim alayhi salam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had performed. وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. Call people to come and perform Hajj. And people will start flocking. People will start coming to Mecca, whether they're riding or on their feet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam reach everyone. Or many people to the day of judgment, where people thousands of years after Ibrahim alayhi salam are responding to the call of Ibrahim. When we go to Hajj, those who had already left the Hajj, or those who are going to Hajj, they are responding to the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where he said, Allah had established his house and Allah commands you to come perform Hajj. Subhanallah, miracle over miracle. Sacrifice over sacrifice. And Ibrahim alayhi salam leaves Mecca to go back to Palestine. And now Mecca, it's been settled by a tribe of Arabs led by Ismail alayhi salam. And now Ismail alayhi salam grows up, matures, becomes a young man, fit, healthy, strong, and more importantly, righteous. And Ibrahim, his father, sees Ismail alayhi salam to be not only a young man who grew up without the presence of his father in that challenging environment and tough environment, but he sees him to grow up fit, strong, well-mannered, disciplined, and righteous, God-fearing, fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, this is a moment that every single father looks forward to. Everyone looks forward to that moment that they see their children grow up and they become old enough adults in which they depend on themselves, but at the same time, respectful, disciplined, righteous, God-fearing. Ismail alayhi salam is a prophet to be. He's a prophet to be, a human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, but not only like a typical human being, this is a man that's going to become a prophet. And it's a moment where Ibrahim alayhi salam becomes so connected to Ismail. It's enough that he was tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave him behind in the middle of that valley with his mom, with his mother, without much of sustenance and provision. But right now Ismail alayhi salam grows up, he's a man, he's a fit man, he's a respectful man, and future prophet to be. You could imagine how connected the heart of Ibrahim alayhi salam became to Ismail alayhi salam. But now the bigger test comes. If you think the first test was tough, hear the second test. And obviously in between the first test and the second test, many other tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ibrahim alayhi salam. But now the big test comes, where Ibrahim alayhi salam awaits that moment to see his son had grown up, he's an adult, he's strong, he's healthy, he's intelligent, he's righteous, pious, fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing more happier for any father to see from his son when you see strength, growth, maturity, and righteousness. The big test comes where Ibrahim alayhi salam sleeps that night and he sees in his dream that he was slaughtering his son Ismail. And prophets and messengers then see stupid dreams or foolish dreams in which, you saw yourself traveling here, going there, just a dream. Whatever the prophets and messengers see in their dream, it's a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam saw in a dream that he was slaughtering his son in that dream, he knew as a prophet and messenger that this is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that night, upon his visit to his son Ismail in Mecca, Ibrahim sees in his dream that he was slaughtering his son Ismail. So the following day he wakes up and he speaks to his son Ismail. Ya bunayya, inni ara fil manami anni adbahuk. He calls upon his son and he says to him, oh son, I saw in my dream last night that I was slaughtering you. Fanzur madha tara. You know the drill? You understand? I'm a prophet and messenger. Whatever I see in the dream, it's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So last night I saw in my dream that I was slaughtering you. And you know that this has now become an official commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for me to slaughter you. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What do you suggest upon me? What do you want me to do? It's not an easy decision for me to make. You are my son and I love you. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rights upon me, and right now Allah commands me for me to slaughter you. So what do I do? What do you think the response of Ismail would be? Oh, dad, are you for real? Are you out of your mind? Call 000 or run out of the house. Subhanallah, if that's a reaction of Ibrahim alayhi salam towards his son, look at the reaction of Ismail to his father when his father told him that I saw in my dream that I was slaughtering you, and now Allah commands me to slaughter you. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What do you suggest upon me? So he said, Ya abatif'al ma tu'mar, satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. Oh dad, oh father, do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded in order to do. You'll find me from amongst the patient ones for the sake of Allah. If that's what Allah wants, you do. And don't even think of deterring away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. Don't even think for a second for you to deter away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order. If this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded you, if this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered you to do, then you must do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered you to do. And don't even think twice about it. Allahu Akbar. What kind of a conviction is that? What kind of faith and iman is that? This is the faith of the true believers. Willing to sacrifice anything and everyone and everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To give up anything and anyone for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Without any hesitation, without any reluctance. When Allah commands, you obey. When Allah orders, you follow. You don't even think twice about it. Ya bunaya inni ara fil manami anni azbahak. O son, I saw in my dream that I was slaughtering you. Fandur madha tara. What do you suggest upon me? قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Oh Father, do what Allah had commanded you to do. And you find me from amongst the patient ones. No hesitation when it comes to the orders of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we're not talking about donating $100 or $2,000 or $100,000. We're not talking about giving up your house or giving up your car. We're not talking about giving up an hour or two. We're not talking about giving up a day or two. We're talking about giving up life. And what kind of a life? Not a son that you're waiting for that moment, I want to get rid of him. A life of a righteous, respectful son. That you could imagine how connected the heart of Ibrahim alayhi salam was to his son Ismail. And now Ibrahim alayhi salam moves on to execute Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command upon him. And he walks with his son to the place that he saw in his vision, in his dream, that he slaughtered his son in. Or at. So he goes there. Father and son walking. Wallah, he's not taking his son to a park or to a circus, to a recreation facility, to a shopping center, or taking him to a restaurant. He's walking with his son to slaughter him. It's going to be the last and final walk that Ibrahim alayhi salam has in his mind with his son. A son that every single one of us would love to have. Maturity, health, strength, and more importantly, righteousness. Along the way, the shaitan comes and tries and deters and divert Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandment. This is a great sacrifice from Allah subhanahu to Allah azza wa jal. But Ibrahim and Ismail are so determined. These are the commands of Allah. We can't deter away from them. We can't divert ourselves away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders until they reach to that point, to that place where Ibrahim alayhi salam saw in his dream they slaughtered the son Ismail, and he puts him there. So what does Ismail do? Does he think twice about it? No. He says, oh father, make sure that I face the ground. Say, so don't look at my face, because I'm afraid when you look at my face and you are coming about to execute Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command, you might think twice about it. You might sympathize. You might become emotional. So he turns him around and he says to him, oh father, sharpen the knife. So you could just slaughter me in one hit without you thinking twice about it. And he does that. Subhanallah, ikhwani, we talk about their stories. I want you to comprehend the sacrifice, not the story. Oh well, that was a very nice story about Ibrahim and Ismail and what Ibrahim alayhi salam was willing to do, sacrificing his son Ismail and slaughtering for the sake of Allah. I want you to look at the significance of this sacrifice, what someone is willing to do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To give up and sacrifice your own son, an only son, a what son? A righteous son and a prophet to be son. He lay lays him down, faces him the ground, takes the sharpened sword as a knife and puts it on his neck and he says, Bismillah, it's a sacrifice for the sake of Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that sacrifice, but Allah azza wa jal also does not allow that death or that slaughtering take place. He tries to slaughter and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't allow the knife to slaughter. And again and again and again until the call comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from above the heavens, O Ibrahim, you have fulfilled your mission. That's it. We just wanted to see you sacrifice. You've done what you needed to do to sacrifice. There's no need for you to pursue slaughtering your son. We're going to give you something else to slaughter. We're going to descend a sheep from the heaven for you to slaughter. We'll descend you a sheep from the heaven for you to slaughter. So go and slaughter that instead. And that's why during the days of Hajj, it's recommended for you to slaughter. It's recommended for you to revive that great sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit anything out of this slaughter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَنَالَ اللَّهُ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَاكِ يَنَالُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Allah does not benefit anything from the flesh or the meat of this slaughter, nor the blood of this slaughter. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see from you is that sacrifice, piety and righteousness. Like exactly Ismail alayhi salam. What benefit does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get out of Ibrahim slaughtering his own son Ismail? No benefit at all. But it's about that sacrifice that you are willing to sacrifice for the sake of Allah. You are willing to give up what you love most for the sake of Allah. That's that moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see. And that's the moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased from you. To sacrifice. That's why we pray, and our prayer is a form of sacrifice. We fast, and our fasting is a form of sacrifice. We come to Salatul Jum'ah, we could have been making money in your business. It's a form of sacrifice, and we get a Hajj as a form of sacrifice. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was willing to sacrifice his own son, an only son, a righteous son. And it's all about sacrifice. Everything that we do, my brothers in Islam, it's about sacrifice. So the days of Hajj are not days just for us to think of the Kaaba and for us to think of Mecca. Yes, we are connected to that place, and Allah Azza wa Jalla wants you to be connected to the center point of Islam, which is Mecca. And that's why we face the Qibla for all our prayers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see from you sacrifice. Sacrifice. You sacrifice what you love most. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر أشكره وهو الذي وعد المزيد لمن شكر وأصلي وأسلم بارك على النبي المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم خير البشر وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. My brothers in Islam, our worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every ritual and every prayer and every worship that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's all about sacrifice. And sacrifice means that, Ya Allah, I'm willing to give up what I love most for your sake. You come first on my list. Because Allah doesn't like it when He created you, sustained you, provided to you, He made you exist and gave you everything, and then you put Him last. And then you put His creation above Him. My money comes first. My family comes first. My business comes first. Everything else comes first. My hobbies come first. And Allah comes last. No! Allah comes first and everything else comes last. And that's exactly what Ibrahim alayhi salam had signified. That's exactly what Ibrahim alayhi salam had sacrificed. Ya Allah, even for my own son that I love so much, I wanted to give him up for your sake. These days we struggle to get up and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We struggle to even get up for Fajr. We are willing to sacrifice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the pillow. Sacrifice our hobbies for Islam. Don't even have 5 minutes to spare sometimes for the salah. Or $100 to donate for the sake of Allah. Or even 150 bucks for an udhiyah. Islam is about sacrifice, sacrificing what you love most for the sake of Allah until Allah is pleased from you. Because if you want the pleasure of Allah, you need to sacrifice for Allah. You need to put the time and effort. You need to show Allah that, Ya Allah, you come first. And everyone else comes second. And that's exactly what we learn out of Hajj and the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. When Allah commanded him to travel with his wife and his son and leave him behind in the middle of that valley without much food and water, that's sacrifice. Building the Kaaba when there's no one around, that's sacrifice. Calling upon people to come and visit the Kaaba when no one can hear him, that's sacrifice. Slaughtering his own son or willing to slaughter his own son for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's sacrifice. And Islam is about sacrifice. And every worship that we worship Allah, including the five daily prayers, are all about sacrifice. That you are willing to give up your time for the sake of Allah, your comfort for the sake of Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to get up for Salat al-Fajr, as-salatu khayrun min an-nawm, it's about sacrifice, that you are willing to sacrifice your comfort for the sake of Allah. To come out of that bed for the sake of Allah. To disconnect and discontinue your sleep for the sake of Allah. When you donate and you give, it's about sacrifice for the sake of Allah. And Allah does not benefit anything. Allah does not benefit anything out of your sacrifice. The one that benefits out of that sacrifice is you. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was willing to slaughter his own son. That's a big, significant sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who truly sacrifice for his sake. And give up what they love most for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah mentions in the Holy Quran, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never acquire and achieve bir, which is the highest level of iman, until you give up what you love most. That's iman. You want to reach the high level of iman, which is bir, give up what you love most. Whether it's your time, your hobbies, your pleasures, your wealth, you give it up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't mean, wallahi, you give up everything and you become poor. No, no, no. Some sacrifice. Some sacrifice. But unfortunately, sometimes there's no sacrifice at all. Some sacrifice for the sake of Allah. As we do sacrifice for everything else, we sacrifice a lot for ourselves, for our hobbies, for our families, for our cars, for our stomachs. And there's nothing wrong with that, don't get me wrong. But there's got to be also an additional sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I wanna be in Jannah, Jannah, yeah. Jannah, Jannah. Every Muslim dreams to be up in Jannah, 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 Jannah. A pious person's destiny. Inshallah, in Jannah, 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 Jannah.